Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You, Big Book Study. My name is Jody E. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, May 19th, 2025. Today we're reading from the Big Book and we are on page 98, the first full paragraph. Today's readers are Jan S. on the 12 steps. Patricia C. will read the 12 traditions. Eileen M. will read the text for us today. And Lou Ann C. will read our closing. Our newcomer greeter today is Yvonne A. and Becca R. will share announcements. The reference numbers for yesterday's special edition, Sunday, May 18th, is 22,444. That's 22444. And this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting share ID number is 22,445. 22445. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Jan S. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jan S., as in Sam, from California, and here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. I pass.
Thank you so much, Jan S. from California. And I will now ask Patricia C. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
This is Patricia C. in North Carolina.
One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. Six, an AA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the, well, I guess I should say OA, sorry, OA name, to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you so much for letting me serve. And thank you so much for serving, Patricia C. from North Carolina. And yes, we do read the OA versions of both the steps and the traditions. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone may share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting simply requests that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing on what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we're resuming our study of the Big Book on page 98, paragraph 1. I will ask Eileen M. to begin reading.
Good morning. This is Eileen M. I'm very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. It is not the matter of giving that is in question, but when and how to give. That often makes the difference between failure and success. The minute we put our work on a service plane, the alcoholic commences to rely upon our assistance rather than upon God. He clamors for this or that, claiming he cannot master alcohol until his material needs are cared for. Nonsense. Some of us have taken very hard knocks to learn this truth. Job or no job, wife or no wife, we simply do not stop drinking so long as we place dependence upon other people ahead of dependence on God. Oh, wow, yeah. So what this means to me is that, you know, what my job is as a sponsor is, you know, I'm a guide and, you know, I'm guiding someone through the 12 steps, you know, in order that they can find a power greater than themselves that can solve all their problems. And so what I do is, you know, I share what I do. And in the process, I have to let go of the outcome, because, you know, their recovery depends on their relationship with their higher power. And I think that's the best way I can be helpful, is to let go of the outcome. You know, I cannot get someone recovered. And, you know, in terms of, like, you know, I also don't, you know, give advice. I mean, that's what we're told, not to give advice. We're not professionals. We're not life coaches. You know, we don't really know what's best for someone else in terms of, like, you know, matters that are outside the step work. You know, part of my work as a sponsor really is to teach other people how to depend on God. You know, that's really what the focus of sponsorship is to me, is to help others, you know, get that relationship. And, you know, on the subject of material needs, I was thinking about this morning, and I remember in the big book, I found it's on page 127, it talks about, the quote is, material well-being always followed spiritual progress. It never preceded. I think that's really powerful because, I mean, that shows right there dependence on God, that, you know, spiritual progress comes first. And, yeah, this is, you know, the program, it's an altruistic approach, is that we don't expect, you know, anything in return from the sponsee. We're just trying to be helpful. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Eileen M. from New Hampshire. All right, I'd now like to take a list of names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Again, we're on page 98, the first paragraph, but before I do, I'll just remind everyone that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share today?
Wendy B.
Wendy B.
Margaret O.
Margaret O.
Luann C.
Luann C. Deborah G. All right, let's go with that group. Wendy B., go ahead, followed by Margaret O.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. That line that says, the alcoholic commences to rely on our assistance rather than upon God. And that's the challenge, you know, that's what I need to discern when I'm trying to help someone. You know, am I trying to do for them what they need to be doing for themselves? Am I trying to play God and to fix their problems? You know, God's the answer. You know, he's the only one who can fix our brokenness, and he's the one that can help us grow up and face responsibilities of life. And, you know, my role is to come alongside and to support others, you know, as they struggle to make changes, you know, for the better in their lives. And, you know, I can't make their life better. You know, I don't have a magic wand. And you know, they have to face the consequences of the choices that they made, you know, that got them to this point in their life. And, you know, and God knows their history, and he knows what they've been through, and he knows their psyche and what they need to go through to get them to the place of crying out to him, you know, for help and direction. And, you know, and God knows our tendency to want instant gratification and instant relief from our discomfort. And, you know, that's why he gave us this program, you know, to help us grow up and learn how to tolerate the discomfort of having feelings and facing the unknown. And, you know, he's teaching us how to rely on him instead of turning to food or turning to any substance or turning to other people, you know, trying to wrest satisfaction out of things, you know, that are only temporary and can't give us lasting relief or satisfaction. And, you know, things that only set us up for craving more, you know, because they don't really meet the need, you know, and God's truly satisfied. You know, he meets the longings of our heart. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much. Wendy B. from Arizona. Margaret O., where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Margaret O. in Connecticut. Thank you, Jody, for your service and everyone who's doing service for this meeting. You know, the sentence that really struck me is the last phrase of, we simply do not stop eating. I substituted the word eating. We simply do not stop eating so long as we place dependence upon other people ahead of dependence on God. And, you know, I'm kind of struggling right now because I had some things yesterday. I had a fender bender around noon. A very minor accident that just caused minor damage on my car, but it was just a frustration. And I also had some like relationship stuff with my brother, who's living a distance away, but yesterday kind of come up. And, you know, I did 10 steps on both things, but I still, well, I did them late in the day. And that's the other thing. Getting spiritually fit, being spiritually fit means I take the time right away. I don't wait hours to, you know, do this 10th step. And I did wait hours, and I wound up not being able to find anyone to give it to because it was kind of like late in the evening. And I kind of just was like, okay, I know what God wants me, you know, to be, and I'm good. I did my two-way prayer, and it wasn't enough. And the other thing I did on this sentence was to say, we simply do not stop eating so long as we place dependence upon food ahead of dependence on God. And so, you know, the whole thing where I'm seeking validation from other people rather than valuing myself in God's eyes and all those character defects that come up, but also just kind of choosing to take refuge in food, that's such an illusion. Like, this is going to make me feel better. And where is God, by the way? Where is God? You know, because I pray and I do my writing and I'm trying to connect. But boy, that pull with the food is so strong. It's like, you know, the North Pole. Kind of. And I've got to just grow up. It's not in the food. It's just life on life's terms. And I've got to stay spiritually fit. And I've got to work with a sponsee. And the last couple of weeks, there's been three people I've started to work with. And right away, they just weren't ready. It's like they weren't doing the work, not emailing me their alcoholic foods, not calling me at the, you know, on time and on even on the day. So it's just been a struggle lately. Okay, but I'll leave it there and look forward to the rest of the shares. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Margaret O. from Connecticut. Luann C. from Idaho, please go ahead.
Morning, everybody. Happy Monday. I'm Luann C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Boise, Idaho. So many of these paragraphs we've studied have spoken to me of discernment and enabling. And for me, the when is that moment of surrender when they're willing and able to follow direction. And the how is to just pass on in clear direction how I got recovered. At the beginning, though, I was afraid not to sponsor, so I wasn't really discerning their readiness. I just plunged forward. So when they used their time together to talk about all the life events and situations that made it too hard to stay on a food plan or do the work, I just kept going and was a cheerleader for them. And, you know, a cheerleader for them staying stuck, actually. And I had enabled them to depend on me. But thank God, God sent me a few people who were ready, even though I didn't recognize that key component. And they did the work. They stayed on their food plan, and the whole process went smoothly and relatively quickly. And really, I was a side note. And these people had made their connection in that moment of surrender they had. So, you know, in Big Book Recovery, I've learned to look at the evidence, and the evidence I've collected is that those sponsees who had not had that moment of surrender to their God as they understood him, they went back out. But those who had made the connection, they recovered. And with those people, there was no need to push and pull. It didn't feel like a burden, but I needed to develop discernment. But, you know, to gather this evidence and develop discernment, I had to keep at it. I had to remain recovered. I had to be humble and willing to make mistakes and learn. I had to be willing to sponsor, and I had to keep trying. So if you're feeling a little lost, my message is keep trying. keep sponsoring. And Anyway, thank you for letting me share that, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Luann C. from Idaho. Deborah G., please go ahead.
Oh, good morning. Hi, everyone. Thank you, Jody, so much for your service and everyone who's making this meeting possible. And welcome, welcome to any newcomers. I'm so glad you're on the line today with us. And I'm Deborah G. from Arizona. And I remember when my sponsor was taking me through the steps, you know, she talked a lot about staying connected to God throughout the experience of going through the steps, you know. And I had a food plan, alcoholic foods out of the way, and we were going through the steps. And I loved the way she took me through the steps. And I was really desperate and surrendered and really wanting to get free. And I think that had a lot to do with it. Like, and I loved all the shares. Thank you all for 12-stepping me today and all the previous shares. And and she still continues to tell me when we do connect to stay connected to God, you know. And I love that I'm able to continue to seek, and through prayer, meditation, spiritual practice, spiritual reading. I mean, there's such a variety of things to do to stay connected, working with other people, getting out of myself. And that's what I like to do with others, is having them look at the things, the obstacles that are keeping them from that relationship, that connectedness with God, and that transformation that God can do for them when they do surrender to God, you know, and that's all I can do. I'm like a lantern guiding the way and meeting them where they're at and listening to what they have to say and let it all unfold in divine order, because that's all I can do. And I'm just really grateful to be with you all this morning. Have a beautiful, blessed day.
Thank you, Deborah G. from Arizona. If you came in a little late, we are on page 98, the first full paragraph. It's not the matter of giving that is in question. Who else would like to share?
Janice Pia. Good morning, Jody.
Janice, good morning. Malka S.
Jessica C.
Jessica C. Anyone else on this paragraph in working with others? Okay, we'll go with Janice PM, followed by Malka S. and Jessica C. Please go ahead, Janice.
And good morning again, Jody. This is, I am Janice PM, a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. This is a VIP paragraph. And I remember somebody in another program saying it, another, you know, OA program. And I'm going, VIP, what does that mean? Well, it's very important person. Well, who is the very important person or deity that I have to depend upon when I'm getting recovered? Well, this is talking about a sponsor, people who help other people, guide them through the steps of recovery. That's the only job I have. It's not that I have to get a relationship with them and be a friend. Yeah, I'm going to try to be gentle, try to not to dominate, try not to depend, have them depend on me. And I think that's what the whole paragraph is saying. Well, because I know my own ego, I may have them through just the way I talk to depend upon me, telling them what to do. Well, I can tell them what I did, not what they should do. And, you know, and psychiatrists, if you go to page 115, one of my other favorite pages, in the 12 and 12, talks about the professionals telling alcoholics, compulsive overeaters, what the main problem is in my life. And, yeah, it's dependence on people, dependence on the material world, dependence on my sponsor, dependence on what they say is the best meeting. Well, that's fine and good, but it's not the, that's not going to give me recovery. That's going to give me support. But the real reliance, of course, is not me. It's on a power greater than myself. And stop demanding, Janice. That's all I used to do. I'd either demand from you or I would depend upon you. Depending or domineering. Either one for my validation. Now, I learned way back in the doctor's opinion that I am powerless and I have a physical problem, well, and a spiritual problem. So I know what I can do. And I can't do too much unless I depend upon a higher power. And that my higher power is God. Very, very important. I never got recovery when I had a lot of money. Never got recovery when I was the director of a school. Never got recovered when I went to the best meetings and had the best sponsor. I only got recovered when I found that power.
Fine.
By the guidance, thank you, and I'll wrap up. I only find the power through the 12 steps. I don't know when, I don't know how, but it wasn't from people, you know, giving me money, or et cetera, et cetera. It was dependence on God because I was lack of power. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Janice, PM from Massachusetts. Malka, S, please go ahead.
Hi, this is Malka S. I'm calling from San Diego this morning. Right now I'm at a conference for one of my family members, and wow, the amount of food here, and the types of foods here are just in abundance. So I'm really trying to just like really lean in to my program. And I really love this paragraph and just something I wanted to share. A pattern that I've realized is that when I have a food thought or a craving, what's the real craving? And I think I've learned the hard way, but many times. But the craving, it's not really for the food. I think now I can truly say with a clear head, and I know that I don't always feel this way, but at least I can think this way, that the craving, that what I'm really craving is my higher power. What I'm really craving is God. No person is going to save me. I'm not even going to be the one to save myself. I think that my reliance on God, that's like the recipe for me. He knows my process better than anyone. He knows everything. And I love somebody shared previously the question, where is God? And I know that it mentions something like this in the big book, and I can't remember exactly the what it says. I don't have it with me, but something about how God is, He's in me. He's in me and he's all around me. And I have to just get quiet and listen and try to create this two-way dialogue and just this listening to whatever, you know, what's my intuition telling me? What is God telling me in this situation? And pausing. And I'm going to use those tools this week especially, but, you know, every single day. So I've just loved hearing the shares, and I'm just going to continue listening. So thank you so much, and have a great day.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you, Malka S. from Mexico. Who else would like to share Jessica. Jessica C., it's your turn.
Hi, thank you. Jessica C., recovered compulsive overeater in Ontario, Canada. I'm just really appreciating the shares and just this deep dive into, you know, this deep study of working with others. You know, I've been in OA for a long time, and most of that time has been focused, for me, has been focused on me and getting my needs met and getting my own recovery. And I just really appreciate how much of the book is devoted to working with others and carrying the message. Because I need that to get out of my selfishness and self-centeredness. I just love the wisdom around not becoming like a sort of a guru to sponsees. You know, I did that at the beginning. I made my sponsors into my higher power. You know, if something was going on that disturbed me, like I had to talk to them right away. I had to be that person. So I was relying really heavily on them. And, you know, I had really great people sponsoring me, but there always came a point where, you know, they were not available all the time, or I was disappointed in, you know, the guidance that they gave me, or I came to see that they are humans too, you know, with their own, you know, frailties and imperfections like I have. And, you know, I think I had to do that. I had to start out that way because it's just really hard to grasp what it means to rely on a higher power, you know, sort of growing up in this modern material world where we rely on things that are like we can see and touch and experience immediately. I had to start there. And, you know, because if someone maybe at the beginning told me, well, you know, you have to rely on God no matter what. I'm not going to be available for you. I'm going to talk to you because I want you to go to God. I think that probably would have turned me off and made me feel like I was in the wrong place. So I just appreciate the patience of, you know, sponsors and guides who gently directed me towards God. And that's what I try to do today. And I do it imperfectly. You know, I've made myself like overly available to sponsees. You know, there was one point where I was talking to someone as a sponsee every day for half an hour early in the morning, and that was disrupting my family life. And she was becoming overly dependent upon me. So what I do today, and again, it's through the wisdom from this book and from fellows, is, you know, I just share my own experience of how I came to rely on a higher power, on God. And I just sort of gently direct them towards God and what that, you know, through my own experience, I hope that that helps others find their own pathway to God, because it's so different for everyone. You know, like, it's such a different path, and it's so interesting and amazing to see the miracle of how other people find that connection to God. I just really love all the wisdom that's being shared here today. It's so helpful, and I'll pass with that. Thanks.
Thank you, Jessica C. from Ontario. We have time for more shares, and we're on page 98, the first full paragraph. Who else would like to share?
Janice K.
Janice K.
Anne-Marie L.
Anne-Marie L.
Jan C. from Colorado.
Jan C. Colorado. Okay, let's go with those three. Janice K., followed by Anne-Marie L., and then Jan C. Take it away, Janice.
Good morning. This is Janice K. in Oregon. And the things I'm hearing today kind of deal with sponsorship. My job as a sponsor is to show someone else how to change their life in order to live without the struggle with food that I endured. My job is to show the way, is to share what I did and how I did what I did. It may come across as advice, but I think if we are careful to say, well, when this is as close as it comes, this is the experience I had, this is what I did. What you do is up to you and your higher power. It's the deep truth here is that job or no job, family or no family, spouse or no spouse, partner or no partner, we do not stop overeating as long as we place dependence on people ahead of dependence on God. And it's hard to deal with the sponsee who wants to make you a higher power. One of them actually came out and said that, and I said, no, not me. I will disappoint you. You need to depend on a higher power. That kind of honesty can be difficult because the deep dependence that I wanted as a non-recovered, early recovery person, the deep dependence that I wanted to have on someone else was what I had to learn to give to my higher power. And a thing that catches me in this is the minute we put our work on a service plane, the alcoholic commences to rely upon our assistance rather than upon God. Well, when I work on a service plane, I'm far, but this is, 85 years, 89 years after the book was written, my adaptation of the term service means that I am deeply connected with my higher power, that I am able to listen with higher power ears. I can think with higher power thoughts. He sort of sends me intuitive thoughts, actions, words, and I can speak from higher power, and sometimes I finish, and it's like, wow, where did that come from? But sometimes sponsors have to say hard truths. You need to work with someone else. I am becoming too important. You are relying
time
too much. But service with a sponsee is a highly individualized thing. And we don't learn to do it until we do it. So thank you for listening.
Thank you, Janice K. from Oregon. Anne Marie L., where are you calling from today?
Yes, Anne Marie L. from Massachusetts. Can you hear me okay? Because I had problems with my phone in the house.
Yes, I can. Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me know if you lose me. I had shared in the earlier meeting today, the first meeting, and I had forgotten one part of this, right? Job or no job. And I lost my job about a month ago, actually. And I really liked my job. I was happy there. It was like probably the first time I really was happy somewhere and learning to be an adult. And unfortunately, due to circumstances, this happened. And my first reaction to this was I had a couple of meltdowns. I was not relying on God. I was relying on self and blaming other people, places, and things for my situation. And guess what? I was feeling kind of miserable. Not miserable, but unhappy. And it just occurred to me, oh, my gosh, God has given me this opportunity to spend more time doing program work, to spend more time maybe learning to meditate differently than I had been, to build my relationship with God and to serve others and to do His will. And instead of thinking about what I wasn't getting, getting my needs met. Yeah, there is some fear around this. I'm not a spring chicken. I mean, I'm not the old, super old, but I'm not a spring chicken. And it's hard, but this is where the rubber meets the road. And when I do get into that fear, I do a 10 step and I I ask God to help me, help remove the fear, and then help me to be helpful to others. I'm not perfect. I don't do that perfectly all the time. Sometimes I'll turn on my Netflix when I really shouldn't, but maybe it could be helpful to others. So, but I'm a human. And, again, I shared this earlier, but I used to think that my sponsor was an end-all be-all, because I really didn't get the spiritual part of the program. So at that point, that's the best that I could do. And they were very helpful to me. They all taught me different things. But at the end of the day, I'm not, very few people have the same sponsor for 20, 30 years. It's pretty rare. That's because we can get different things from different people, learn different things from different people, and then we can move on. I learned that if, I had somebody who I sponsored and we just, we didn't connect really, and she didn't really want to stay on after we finished the steps, and that was okay. It was totally fine with me. It didn't hurt my feelings. It's not about me. She needs to do what she needs to do. And that happens on both ends. Sometimes the sponsor isn't crazy about the sponsee, but you know what? It's principles before personality. It's not going to be hard sometimes, but at the end of the day, it's God that you really need to have that strong relationship, because that bond's not going to be broken or disappointed or let go or fired or whatever. That's just not going to happen. Thank you very much for letting me share, and that's it.
Thank you, Anne-Marie L. from Massachusetts. Next, we have Jan C. from Colorado.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. I am so grateful I'm on this meeting today. I just heard just so many wonderful things about how you all are sponsoring. So I'm praying about the information I got today so I can become a better sponsor. And I've been in administration, and that's a kind of an occupational hazard that I keep bringing into sponsoring. It's not up to me. It is not up to me. I simply need to share what has worked for me and how I rely on my higher power. And if I can give that to my sponsees, then I'm giving what God wants me to do. And I don't know if you hear my voice, but I have a cold right now. So I've had to rearrange my day to say, okay, all those wonderful things you thought you had in your plan, Jan, are not for you today. Just ask God what he wants you to do while you stay home. And so, once again, I just get so much out of these meetings. Thank you, everybody, for what you've shared. I will continue to sponsor as best I think God wants me to. And I know I'm not a fixer. The results are not up to me. Thank you so much. I'll pass.
And thank you, Jan C. from Colorado. We have time for a couple more shares. Who else would like to share? We're on page 98, the first paragraph.
Ginger in New York. Ginger M.
Ginger M.
M.
Gotcha, Ginger. Anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Ginger, please.
Thank you. Glad to be on the meeting. So, I've never sponsored. I have a step, and I guess what
Ginger,
I want to say is that...
Ginger, it's hard to hear you, Ginger. If you're on speaker, could you not speak through speaker?
Okay, is that better?
That is better, yes. Thank you.
Okay. So... trying to go to a place indoors to be more quiet. What I wanted to say is that I know I've heard from a very well recovered person that if you're ready to do the steps, you could do them with a stick and it would work. But I don't believe that applies in my case. And I really do need someone who's gentle and encouraging and not critical. And sometimes people, when they share, they sound very gentle. But when I take them as a sponsor, it changes. It's different. And the last time I had a sponsor in this group,
she was so tough on me that I really got depressed and I couldn't continue with her. So definitely looking for somebody who's gentle and not critical. I believe that there are sponsors like that out there. So that's my prayer to God, that at the right time, the right person will show up for me. And it is true that this is, that it is very individualized. And the people just sponsor exactly the way they were sponsored, and they don't take into consideration the possible differences and the individuality and uniqueness of the person who they're sponsoring, you know, then it's not being tailored to the individual, and it may not work. So that's what I wanted to share. Thank you. Thank you for your service.
Thank you, Ginger M. from New York. We have time for one more share. Anyone else like to share on this paragraph? Page 98. 2 minute share, please.
Go ahead, New Jersey.
Okay, go ahead, Laura, for 2 minutes. Thank you.
Thanks, Jody. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. It was great to hear everybody share today. you know, this paragraph says that it's not a matter of giving that's in question, but when and how to give. So when I was gifted the gift of recovery, it was not even a question that I needed to help others by sponsorship or whatever you want to call it, by carrying the message. You know, the spiritual awakening that I got through working the 12 steps is, you know, when they talk about getting well, that's what it's talking about. That's getting well means having the spiritual awakening. You know, job or no job, wife or no wife, we simply do not stop drinking. We do not stop compulsive eating, restricting, starving, purging, as long as we place dependence upon other people or things, I jotted down, ahead of dependence on God. And, you know, I just have to carry the message both in my home and with my sponsees and, you know, share with my sponsees what works for me. I don't tell them what they need to eat, what they, you know, the disease will convince them whether or not they're doing, they're eating the proper things. So, you know, the hardest place for me to work this is my home with my 18-year-old daughter who's anorexic. And I would love to carry the message to her. I've tried to carry the message to her. I've tried to be an example, you know, but until somebody hits their bottom, nothing can be done. And I truly believe that. And it's very hard to believe it when it's your child. But, you know, I'm just putting one foot in front of the other and staying in my lane. And I pray that God will carry her. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Laura W. in New Jersey. That's all the time we have for sharing. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Luann C. please read the closing for us?
Thank you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.